traveling man, made a lot of stuff all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty señorita waiting for me down in New Mexico.
Well, I'm back, and I do have a pretty little señorita waiting for us, and her name is Karen LaPerry. And good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Ray.
I guess we're going to be talking about some serious barbecue today, and the best in Maryland and Alabama. And I got to say, Karen, you sure do have fun. You're out there having a good time.
Well, isn't that what it's all about? Exploring, you know, what culture is all about. That's part of travel.
It certainly is. And why don't you take the lead on this one? We always seem to do food at lunchtime.
We need to rethink this.
Yeah, exactly. And just let me add, if I will, that if you're listening online, please go to Karen's article at ttrn.com and click on Rediscovering America and the Tale of Two Barbecues on our site. And there's lots of photos to look at, so you can do that and read along while Karen and I chat. So let's go from there, Karen.
Okay. Well, I think what I'd like to do is introduce a special member of my crew who did the audio, Carson LaPerry.
Oh, nice.
Who just happens to be here. And what I was thinking, if this sounds okay, is putting him on real quick just to explain what barbecue is. And then I'll take it from there.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, here he is, Carson LaPerry.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about barbecue. First of all, nice to have you here. And I guess you went along on this adventure, or you wouldn't be knowing. Well, you'd know about barbecue, but you sure wouldn't know about these. Tell us a little bit about barbecue.
All right, barbecue is long, slow cooking, unlike grilling, which is fast. And it was invented. Well, it was used by the natives a long time ago, just to cook meat that was usually too tough to eat. So they would smoke it or cook it on low heat for anywhere from 6 to 12 hours.
Right. Rather than boiling it in something.
Yes.
And then, of course, there were so many different spices and different ways of dealing with all of this, and hence all the different types of barbecue around the world, I guess, you know.
Yes.
Because the Australians also were great barbecuers.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Now, we're gonna go on. Is your mom coming back? And we're gonna.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sure. Nice chatting with you. We'll do that again sometime.
You too.
Thanks
all
for
right.
the information.
Bye.
Well, it's not quite bye. He's just passing over.
Well, I mean,
What you have to understand about him is he has over 100 hours at L'Académie de Cuisine in various styles of cooking. So his knowledge far exceeds mine.
Well, but your taste buds are good, and I'm going to go by those, Karen.
Okay.
Now, you were saying that you start off your article by saying nothing captures the essence of American culture and regional cuisine better than perennial food favorite barbecue. And whether it's meat of choice, which is beef, pork, or chicken, or turkey, I guess it just can go on from there.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways to prepare it. But the thing they have in common is the slow cooking and a sauce. And
right.
that's where the similarities end. Depends upon what region of the country you're in.
Right.
And that's why barbecue ends up being, to me, such an indicator of culture, of tradition. Just some of that, you know, regional cuisine that so defines what America is all about.
Now, then you went to a couple of places. You went to Alabama, and you also went to Rockville, Maryland. Which would you like to start with?
Well, why don't we start with Rockville, Maryland? That actually is my home, so it really wasn't that far. And I was so delighted when Urban Barbecue opened up several years ago.
Uh-huh.
What they are is two partners went together who have a fine dining background, and I'm talking like five-star restaurants. and decided what it was all about was barbecue. And they felt that the Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area just didn't have any good choices. So they opened up this urban barbecue, and everything is history since then. People are discovering them. Food editors are discovering them. And it's only a matter of time before the White House staff discovers them.
White House.
Yeah, and when that happens, it'll be standing room. So, you know, I encourage people to check it out and set your GPS if you should get a chance to go to the nation's capital. Because what this place is all about is choices.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, with the difference between that and normal barbecue places.
Well, this one in particular, because you've got two chefs with a fine dining background, are very cognizant of, you know, the different types of barbecue in the country. And Lee Howard, who's one of the co-owners, first thing he did was explain to me what some of those differences were. And, you know, it's not just the meat of choice, but it's the way you cut the meat, you know, whether you slice, dice it, whether you pull it. And then it's the sauce itself, you know. It can be white, it can be red, it can be even green in parts of Texas and New Mexico. But the one thing about urban barbecue is they recognize these regional differences, and what they try to do is kind of pull together regional samples, some of the best, and offer it to clientele. And they tell me they have people from all over the country coming raving about the barbecue.
And one of the things they say they don't do, besides date your sister, is they don't steam their ribs. Now, a lot of people do that. They boil the ribs or steam the ribs before they cook them. So I guess that's not the process that they follow.
No, because what happens when you do that, what you're actually doing is deteriorating the fiber content in the meat.
Right.
And that's one reason why it falls off so easily, off the bone. And, you know, I had to be educated myself on this, but I do know one thing. When it falls off the bone, it was always very mushy almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't surprised when they told me that, you know, there's a careful balance that you need to strike on this. And, you know, if you boil or steam, you ruin that fiber content. In other words, you might as well be eating baby food at some point.
And, of course, now you had to eat a few of these ribs.
Oh, I had to. It was really tough. I'm telling you.
What a tough job.
Somebody I had lots
to
of
do.
Help, though.
Uh-huh. Now, you say that by far ribs are the most popular house dish, and with customers coming from hundreds of miles around, and what are arguably the best in the region, the meat doesn't fall off the bone as does ribs that are pre-boiled, is what you just said. And but that these are you know, these ribs are marinated for 24 hours. And with a dry rub, which consists of, that was the point I was really getting to, the dry rub consisting of 20 spices.
You're not going to ask me to list those.
No.
Okay.
I, in fact, have my own recipe, which I might share with you one time, and where I do the same thing. I dry rub them. And so I absolutely agree. I mean, I don't know their particular recipe for it, but I can certainly ascertain that that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, they do know what they're doing, and you know the proof is in the pudding, in the customers, in the fact that when they opened their storefront, they had like 10 seats for people who wanted to dine in. They were at first addressing the carryout crowd.
It was basically takeout, yeah.
Yeah. Now they've expanded it, and I think it seats about 30 now, and they do have plans to expand to one other location, not a franchise, but to expand,
right.
Just so they can have more of a presence.
And you say, and they've taken even another step. They have their own roles, which you call the soul roles, and of course, what could be nicer than something to go along with the ribs? And so it's not just ribs that they're doing some other creative dishes.
they really have a full banquet, is what I call it, or picnic, in that, you know, they do greens, and they use kind of an apple smoked bacon to help flavor it.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of greens, but let me tell you, I ate these. They were good. They have, you know, baked beans. They have macaroni and cheese. Tons of side dishes, corn on the cob, and a key lime pie, which I still have to try.
And
it's kind of like that. I don't want to call it down-home cooking because it gives you that warm, comfy feeling, you know, and the tastes are just really a lot better than what I remember having at home.
And you said you love the mustard-based yellow sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I had to practice up on my down country talking here. Yeah. But what was interesting is that you said they do a barbecue egg roll with brisket and a caramelized onions and three cheeses served with a redneck fondue for dipping. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. They have some what I call creative twists as well. And I think that's what just really makes them stand out from the crowd. I mean, everything is just fantastic, and the prices are so reasonable that, you know, people do carry out on a regular basis. You can do picnics, dine in, great lunch spot.
Okay, now, and this is located, where is it actually located?
Well, this is in Rockville, Maryland, which is just outside the Beltway that surrounds Washington, D.C.
Right, so it's easy to find.
Yeah, easily accessible by almost anyone coming through the nation's capital.
Okay, great. Now, the other thing is, before we run out of time, let's chat about Big Bob Gibson in Decatur, Alabama.
Yes, this is a very special place, and holds a special place in my book because they do turkey, which may not be a big seller with a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever tried hickory smoked turkey as well as what I tried there. And that's not really what they're noted for. What they're noted for are basically their meats with the hickory smoke infusion.
Right.
And it all started off in 1925 with Big Bob Gibson, who, if I recall, he was like 6'3".
Yeah, there's a picture of Big Bob on our website at the moment.
Yeah,
with your
he's a big guy.
He is Big Bob Gibson, all right.
And he came up with this original white sauce, which I expect is mayonnaise-based, but there's other ingredients in there I haven't quite identified. But what I can say is it quickly caught on and has been a mainstay in northern Alabama since. And that is more or less how their fame spread, was this white sauce, which, you know, people just came as regulars and to try this, and really great on things like chicken in particular. Since then, they've expanded their line of sauces to include, you know, red sauces, habanero,
right.
And they're entering competitions almost every other month, it seems like, and it's a rare case where they don't walk away with first prize.
That's great. Now, because we're running out of time, let's just tell them how they get to Big Bob's.
Well, Big Bob's is in Decatur, Alabama. And there's actually two locations that they have. One is on 6th Avenue, southeast, off of U.S. Highway 31. And the other one's on Danville Road. And if you go, I would highly suggest that you take a big appetite and that you be sure you try not just the white sauce, but their other sauces as well. Their food is just really fantastic.
Karen, great article. As I say, you can go and read it in depth online at ttrn.com and click on Rediscovering America, and on the icon, of course, you'll then come to Karen's article. Well, Karen, I got to say bye for now. We've got to go to break, and I hope to be talking to you real soon.
Yes, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thanks, Karen. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
LaPerry. We got to go to break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to have the co-authors of one of the best books I've read on the National Park Lodges in a long time. So stick with us.